Sorry about the delay. It's 7 o'clock. It's time to call the meeting to order for the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District. If I can get you all to rise and join Director Porter and I on the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, great. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you very much. All right, this is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board on any item that's not on the agenda, you'll be given 3 minutes to speak, so here's your opportunity. It's nice to be back. Actually, we have one member of the public in the audience. Yay. Frank, do you have anything you want to address the board with? No? And we're not online, so I will close public comments and...
Yes, we are.
I apologize. Is there anyone's wishing?
We're just not on.
Okay. So is there anyone? And with that being said, I'll close public comments and we'll move to the consent calendar.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion carries. Consent calendar is approved. Mm-hmm. All right. Then we'll move to area D, item D1, area agency liaison reports. And since we don't have an active line, I will assume that they're not on the line.
Well, sorry to those folks that we're going to be here. We apologize for having technical difficulties. Yeah, teleconferencing system is not supporting us tonight.
Okay. Well, if we're not going to have any area agency reports, then we'll move on to presentations.
President Gatto, I've got a caller from East Contra Costa Fire Department, but I don't know if their report was any.
Okay. Can we?
On the webinar.
How does that work?
Yeah, how does that work?
Timeline right now, we're thinking, we're shooting for sometime March or April of 2020.
fires are still here, even in the month of October. As we well know, we went all the way into December of last year. Always, be prepared, do what you can. There are red flags of wind events that continually go on during this time of year. We encourage everybody to go to fire@ecc.fpe.org to report any type of information, any type of complaints for wind abatement, and we will begin to look at those. And last update I have is Zone Haven, which is a program that we've been working on, which partners with the county on new evacuation softwares and programs. When we're ready to roll it out to the district along with our sheriff's partners, we will contact the County of Discovery Bay and help push out educational information to the residents about Zone Haven and evacuation zones and how that. That concludes my report, and I'm available for any questions.
I'm seeing no questions. Thank you very much for the report. Eastony, do we have any other members from any of the groups? Okay. And then now we'll move forward to presentations. Make America. Make America. Make our culture.
Make America.
Apologize. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. What? And it's only been 2 hours since I saw you last, so.
Federal Home Loan Bank, which is a federal bank run by the federal government,
And what they do is they issue us a letter of credit. They basically take us out of the equation. If for any reason our bank is unable to meet its obligations, this letter of credit with the Federal Home Loan Bank steps in and your deposits are completely covered. What happens with a bank, we go through exams all the time. We pay for private companies to examine the bank. We have FDIC and we have State of California exams every 12 to 18 months. The Federal Home Loan Bank comes into our bank once a year and examines our loan portfolio. What we do to secure that letter of credit for the Federal Home Loan Bank, they take collateral from us. Basically, the loans that we make, they go through our loan portfolio and they go ahead and say, this is our collateral. So, and they constantly look at it and they constantly put add assets to it, maybe take assets out, whatever they want to do. But we're covered 105% of our municipal deposits for that letter of credit. And every month we look because deposits do fluctuate, and that letter of credit does fluctuate if we need to do that, it needs to increase, but never decreases. We'd rather keep it up at 105 or greater. So that's how that works. So there's really no risk of loss of deposits with our bank, BAC, or any bank. So that's federal law. You have to collateralize municipal deposits. So I wanted to kind of, this is public record. We do value confidentiality, but obviously all of these are public entities. You would find this out if you did research. These are some of the other municipals we do. The Reclamation District of 799, Port Authority of Stockton, East Contra Costa Transit Authority, Bethel Island Municipal, Iron House Sanitation, State of California, and County of San Joaquin. Anyway, that's what we are about. That's what we do. We're very focused in the community. I was here at 4:00 today, 4:30 today, to the Finance Committee. I want to tell you one thing about our bank during this COVID period, which obviously we wear masks, we have people on phones, we've done a lot of different things. One thing our bank is, we had to stay open. We didn't have a choice to close down. We did have some issues, like everyone else with COVID. We had branches that had to shut down for a day or two as we had great outbreaks. We had to restaff, we had to clean and do all that. And so one thing that we did is, in our portfolio of loans and deposits, we have a tremendous amount of restaurants, which, you know, restaurants are always the higher risk businesses, but we like restaurants. They're hardworking folks. They're local restaurants, they're not chains. It's people within our own community. And so what we did is, to help our restaurants, every Friday during the pandemic, we bought lunch for all our staff, every branch, every office, with one of our customers had brought in the bank. And so that was a real joy for everyone. We just discontinued that a couple months ago. But now with Delta coming back, I'm thinking we should have it again. But those are the things that we do as a community bank. We try to focus our energy in the community, our efforts, our donation dollars, and supporting our local businesses. So that was a little bit of the PR pitch. But any questions on the deposits, how we handle deposits, anything like that I can give to address later?
Bank of Agriculture. All right, moving forward. We'll go to item F1, business action items, and we'll talk about annual review of board policies.
Certification, we as a board and as a staff need to review our board policies, employee manuals, and procedure manuals annually. And by this staff presentation today, it would be providing, I guess, that renewal and review of the existing board policies of the town of Discovery Bay. Since inception in 1998, the board has adopted 30 policies and or procedures that were developed to provide administrative and internal controls. And since our last review, which was in 2018, the board has adopted 3 new policies and amended 14 additional policies. And the importance of adopting and reviewing board policies remains pertinent to the process of the District of Distinction because it shows transparency and also provides commitment to operate in a sound and responsible manner. As a district, we're very proud of our platinum level District of Distinction. There's only 12 in the state of California. And one of the criteria to maintain that level is to annually review the policies every year. So the last time we did it was in 2018. I'm bringing it before the board now. As a best practice, staff does regularly review all of the policies that come before the board, and our process that we currently have is in compliance with the District of Distinction. So basically, this is just bringing it to your attention so that we can fulfill the criteria to complete our recertification process. I'm available to answer any questions if you have any.
Is there an action for the board at this point?
There is. Do you accept or do you want to change or look into any of these policies or add any other policies?
I'll let the other directors chime in.
I don't think we have anything that we need to address at this time. It's brought to us by other agencies or compliances, and I think we're doing great, but thank you for reviewing and making sure they're up to date.
Yeah, everything's up to date. As far as the District of Distinction goes, the way that we process all the policies and everything, I mean, we're on top of our stuff, so we should be proud to maintain our platinum level, and hopefully with the introduction of this documentation, we would be recertified within the next 30 days, and that would complete our District of Distinction, our District of Transparency, and also a certificate in special governance. So there's 3 different certifications kind of that roll into the platinum level, which we will maintain for the next 3 years. So, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, let me open up public comments while there's no action item. Is there any member of the public wish to address this issue? Thank you. Then we'll move forward to F2, Baker Agriculture.
Finance Manager Carter will be presenting this item. Good evening. As previously brought to the board, Town of Discovery Bay is working on moving its treasury from Contra County to local control. That's why we had BAC Bank here to show you when we make those transfers that our money will be safe. We currently have accounts for water and wastewater and Zone 8 with BAC Bank. But when it comes to lighting and landscaping Zone 9, the Town of Discovery Bay does not have a bank account. All the funds for Zone 9 are received and dispersed by the Contra Costa County Treasurer. So in order to move the operations to the town, Zone 9 needs to have its own bank account. Staff recommends that the board approve the resolution 2021-14, authorizing the establishment of a bank account with BAC Bank as a depository for Lighting and Landscaping District Zone 9. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have a couple questions. Do we have any funds in any other banks? any accounts
no,
at any of the banks?
Contra Costa County and BAC Bank, yes.
And is this the last transaction that we'll be doing in taking back from the county our finances?
No. We will need to set up the account, and we still have another a couple more steps to complete, and then we'll move the funds.
But is this the last time we'll be moving any funds from the county?
No. What we're going to when we switch to being our own treasury,
mm-hmm.
the county will still receive all of our tax proceeds,
mm-hmm.
and then they will transfer them to us four times a year, which is December, April, June, and October.
Can you walk through the benefits of why this is so important to move it from the county to our own bank, even with them supplying us funds four times a year? What kind of, I guess, freedom or compliance does it help us with?
Fiscally, they pretty much take care of our and write our checks for no cost. When it comes to my staff and the town staff, it gives us constraints. I'm going to give you just one example, and I'm going to use the PG&E bill. We get the PG&E bill, we have 15-day turnaround. We have to get that bill, original bill, with a signature, a wet signature of one of the board, two of you, to the county. The county has 10 business days to turn that around. Okay? So by the time we get it to the county, the bill's already past due, and we're already getting, and we have to call PG&E every month and extend our payment terms.
How much time is it taking of staff to go down to the county to submit it, to call PG&E?
I would say probably about 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours a week
per
staff.
Per week?
Yes. Then when we get the checks from the county, we have to go pick them up. We have to mail them because they won't mail any remittance with them. So our vendors don't understand what they're getting paid for. They get a check for like a credit card,
yeah.
or any of the other bills. So it just causes a lot of undue work for the staff. And it restricts us, especially when we've got D-night coming and we have bond payments. We do our bond payments extremely early because we fear that something will happen at the county and we'll not be able to cut the check.
Yeah.
And if something is lost, we've done mail, we've done express mail, we've done all these things. If it gets lost in their mailroom,
it's lost.
It's lost, and we have to recreate, and we have to go back.
So essentially, it's saving us approximately 120 hours of staff time a year by moving it.
And that's probably a very low estimate.
Yeah.
It's off the cuff doing that. I do. It's also going to stop a lot of the confusion and what I call, say, the fire drills. Because we're having to run against the county deadline, we're having to drive over to Martinez,
yeah.
we're trying to get things done. It's going to give us more independence. It's also going to give us independence with our payroll processing. We have no choice with our payroll processing firm because we have to use the county, and they have to be able to accept water. We're also looking, once we get funds transferred, to invest dormant funds, which we can't do with the county because we don't make very much money there, plus the fees that they charge us, we end up losing money. So,
okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Julian, I believe I heard you say earlier that it's about $17 to $18 million, correctly?
That we're going to be moving over, yes. And some of that is being spent, every month at D-Night, because that's a huge project, but yes.
Yeah. If there's no more questions from the board, I'll open it up to public comments. Yeah, please come to the podium,
Frank. Frank Bisonten, the 940 Discovery Bay Boulevard. I would prefer to see the city to take everything from the county, no matter what. I think you would make up, if you have to bring on another FTE, that's going to save you even the driving time going back and forth. I don't understand why the county, while the county's keeping your money, they're making money off of it. So when you give them the four times a year, whatever you said, you could be having that, you'd be making money off of it. Anyway, my suggestion is get everything away from the county.
Thank you. If there's no more questions, comments, then we will bring back the board for action.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President
Coutel? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. I think it's a great first step for us. Okay, then we'll move on to F3. Go.
Good evening. So as you know, our initial contract with the Corps for parks maintenance was eagerly anticipated for our department. The Corps realized that they had made an error in their contract calculations, and although we were disappointed, we were determined to make some type of agreement work. So when we initiated the service with the Corps, we had some specific goals in mind, and we still think we can meet those goals. We needed to be more efficient with the limited resources we do have. We wanted the flexibility to hire a 4-man crew instead of using a 1-man in-house labor. And we wanted to develop a relationship with the Corps. Not only is it a great program for young adults to be engaged in the communities, it provides towns and agencies like ours an opportunity to supplement their in-house crews. So the details of the initial contract outlined a weekly service, and with their new contract, they'll perform a predetermined 14-week schedule determined by the town, and they would have an additional 2 weeks floating weeks. I've attached an example schedule of their maintenance schedule. I'll give you a little background on why we chose that. We utilize them beginning mid-October through mid-November. Hit it hard, and we can get our parks up to an acceptable maintenance level before the dormant season. Then we'll break from that contract from December through February while we can in-house take care of our parks. And then we'll again utilize them heavily in the months of March and April as the growing season ramps up. And then for 2 weeks in May and 2 weeks in June, and then for July through September, we'll go ahead and take it in-house again and possibly can repeat that cycle. It still allows us to be able to schedule some of these larger installation projects, streetscape cleanups, during the times that we know the parks will be effectively maintained. So tonight, staff requests the board to approve the amended contract to the Greater Valley Conservation Corps in the amount of $60,270, with a total not to exceed $70,000 for the maintenance of town parks.
So ultimately, even with the amended contract, we're still getting four people versus one full-time person.
Right. And if you break it out, like I mentioned in our finance committee, mm-hmm. you think about four people for 16 weeks, that's technically 64 weeks. We could get 48 weeks out of a one house.
Yeah, that still gives us a lot of flexibility. Definitely
I like to refer
benefit.
Them as like an on-call crew. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really beneficial to our maintenance department.
I think it's a good partnership to start to develop because they have other areas of service that we could potentially utilize,
right.
Correct?
Correct.
Bill, is the Greater, you have in the agenda items, this Greater Valley Conservation Corps, is that a region of the California Conservation Corps?
Correct. So our region houses the Greater Valley Conservation Corps.
They still say CCC on their shoulders?
Right.
Okay.
Then let's open this up to public comment.
There are no members of the public online.
Okay. Then we'll bring it back to the board for either motion or further discussion.
I just have one question. Are you going to be sending anything out to the town to let them know you're going to see these trucks around town and the people around town? If you see this, there.
I think that's certainly something we should do, that we've entered into a partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Or at least have it on our Facebook or webpage or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation to revise contract to $60,270, not to exceed $70,000 for Conservation Corps.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Coutel?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thanks for working that out.
Yeah. Yeah. First number did seem kind of low.
Too good to be true.
Yep.
But it's nice to see that we're starting to partner with some local, I mean, Bank of Agriculture, the Conservation Corps. I think that that's a good route to be going.
Okay, let's move forward to F4.
All right. So on September 16th, Governor Newsom signed into law AB361 regarding open meetings, state and local agencies, teleconferences. This law took effect on October 1st, 2021. Existing law, the Ralph M. Brown Act, requires that all meetings of the legislative body of a local agency be open and public, and that all persons be permitted to attend and participate. However, AB 361 amend California's open meeting law to better facilitate virtual meetings during declared emergencies. I will now pass this item over to General Counsel for his explanation of how AB 361 and how it relates to Discovery Bay's public meeting.
Thank you, Dina. So, as the board all knows, that during the pandemic, we were able to have teleconference meetings with pretty flexible noticing requirements, meaning that we didn't have to have noticing at each of your houses. That ended October 1st, just like Dina said. Now, the legislature thought it would be a good idea to implement some sort of emergency measures, not only for the pandemic, but for other emergencies as well. So, there's still the opportunity for us to use the old teleconferencing, which requires them noticing at your house there. People can come and watch you do the meeting. We have to have access, that sort of thing. But now that we have AB 361, we have modified notice requirements that are available to us, provided that a few things are in existence. And what are those things? First thing is a government-proclaimed state of emergency. We have that now currently. We're under a March 4, 2020 state of emergency. Once we have that, then we have the access to be able to have the board consider these sorts of instances. One of them being, are there social distancing measures that are being recommended by local officials? It's our interpretation there are here in Contra Costa County, just because of the masking requirements and the quarantine requirements. So I think that that's going to be pretty liberally construed. If there's not social distancing requirements and we have an emergency, this would be something like a flood or a fire, then the board would meet to make a determination as to whether or not the public's health and safety is at imminent risk. So what does this mean? This means that for this board, during this pandemic, you have an option. You can take advantage of the flexibility of notice in these, under this AB 361 based on the circumstances that we're experiencing now. What does that do for you? As a board, what that does for you is it provides you the flexibility in the event that you fall ill the day before the meeting, or something is preventing you from coming in. You might, there might be an imminent risk to people. You can close the meetings. You can have hybrid meetings. But in order to do that, we have to make a decision. And the decision is, do you want to take advantage of this? And if you want to take advantage of this, then we would recommend doing so by resolution so that we have these findings in place. And that's important because once you take the plunge into this AB 361, in order to keep this ball rolling and to continue to use the flexibility of the teleconference, you have to make these findings every 30 days. Not a big deal for Discovery Bay because we meet every 2 weeks. But those are the rules. So we would have to have a consent item to reconsider the events as we go along to continue using this at the board's discretion. So with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions you all may have. It's a fairly confusing law. There's not a lot of it has been tested. There are some conflicting language in the law. We're doing our best to interpret that and guide our agencies along, but we feel pretty confident in the position where we are now.
If I understand you correctly, so basically it just allows the board more flexibility in the way we conduct our meetings in the current environment that we're at.
Correct. It allows for the board to have more flexible notice requirements in the event you want a teleconference in. And if we take advantage of that, we do have obligations to the public, but with our system now, let's save our conference system for another night, because that seemed to fail us. But it, our system now, is we just relied upon the video feed that is compliant with the law. We have to allow them real-time access to be able to comment to the board in the event that we are calling these an AB 361 meeting.
Do you think they'll ever make this a permanent thing so it's not just state of emergency to provide flexibility for stuff like this?
It is permanent. It was adopted by the legislature. In order for you to use it, you have to have a state of emergency for one, and then the other sections.
In order to hold one of these meetings, do you have to declare an AB 361 meeting prior to the meeting?
That's a great question.
Depends. the dependent part is an inference for a pandemic. So long as there's a state of emergency and social distancing requirements or recommendations, you can hold the meeting, and then you're going to want to make those findings. It's going to be a recommendation to make those findings so that you're communicating to the public how we're going to be conducting ourselves.
And that's every 30 days, correct?
Correct.
I got nothing.
Well, is there any public comment?
No members of the public online.
I'd move for adoption of the resolution.
Yeah, I'll second that. I can't see reason not to.
No.
Okay, so what the resolution would say, just so that we're for the record keeping sake, is that being that there is a state of emergency and there are social distancing measures that are being recommended by local and state health officials, in addition to the imminent safety and risk to the attendees due to the coronavirus and the Delta strain and the contagiousness of it, the Town Discovery Bay Board is making those findings and will be directing staff to take advantage of any and all flexible noticing requirements to conduct meetings. And we'll bring this back to the board at the next regular meeting to revisit that and to make sure that we are keeping up with the conditions as they change.
Okay, so is there an action item tonight?
I was just restating what we did.
There's been a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to do that for our staff.
Clarify what the motion
was. Thank you.
Correct, thank you.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Thank you, Andy. Okay, then moving forward, we'll go to manager report. Do we have a pool update? Hanukkah.
We do. Good evening.
Good evening.
There's been a lot going on back there, so I'm very excited to be here. The concrete around the moat has been poured back. We matched it as close as we possibly could, and it looks fantastic. The fence and the gate where the chemical tanks will go has been built and is done. The pool equipment should have finished completion today, but by the time I've left, they were still there, so I'll find out tomorrow, but very, very close, just some finishing little touches. I met with Adams Pool today, and they are planning to call for a pre-plaster inspection next week, and then pour plaster the following week. So that is what I have tonight.
That's great.
Any questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are we still on a holding pattern on the artificial turf?
We've gone out we sent out a notice inviting bid on the 23rd of September, and we have an opening bid date scheduled for October 27th.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay, Clipper Drive grant update.
I looked at 6:30 too.
I'll take items 2 and 3 and kind of summarize. Those are actually the same. Clipper grant and the competitive grant are actually the same. The Clipper grant / competitive grant was a grant process that we worked through for months for $3.2 million, and we have not yet heard. We were supposed to hear by the end of September. We made a reach out to state parks, and it's still in management's hands. Now, having said that, there is still $100,000 if we do not get the grant to refresh some areas of Clifford. The second part of this is the per capita grant, which we are ready to send in our application, and we've discussed projects with the Parks and Recs Committee and had some projects approved through the board. The barbecue area at Cornell, replacing the tables, replacing the turf, replacing the a new basketball surface and hoops, and then we also have added a replacement of the playground surface at Cornell because that was a safety, beginning to be a safety issue, and we wanted to make sure we used the entirety of the 187,441 of the grant. So that's where we're at.
I was getting excited that you're about to tell us you got approved. I was like, you're leading up and like
edge of our chairs.
Yes. Clipper, here we come. Yeah. Do you think you'll hear something, or are they so overwhelmed with your amazing application that they're just excited to tell us yes?
Now, refresh my memory where the Clipper grant is coming from. Is it the state?
Yes, they're both Proposition 68 from the state. Yeah. One is we're entitled to based on our project criteria. One is very competitive.
Would it do any good whatsoever to get a hold of Frazier and say, you know, we're still waiting if he has any pull in that area?
I would let sleeping bag lie because nobody's been informed yet. And if Frazier comes in and starts stirring the pot, we don't know what that's going to do. So the fact that nobody's been notified yet, you know, let's just wait and see. If they had notified some and not notified us, maybe we'd want to put the squeeze on to find out what's going on. But I'd rather just kind of leave it alone.
It was end of September was the due date.
Correct.
So, well, I mean,
that was the expected.
So we're like 6 days past that, technically.
Well, at first it was the end of summer.
I mean, technically it's still summer.
It was August, and then it was September. We're in October.
Well, still very exciting. Hopefully it comes to fruition.
Better than no.
That's right. Yep. They're still looking at it going, we
got to
do more money.
Thanks, Bill. Do we have a general manager report?
No report.
Do we have director's reports?
We do. For the Internal Operations Committee, we met today. We have some things that will be coming up in future meetings to the entire board. There's an updated social media policy that will be coming for review at the board. The website platform will be deployed coming up on the 11th. So that's some exciting things. We discussed the possibility of allowing or introducing emergency text service, and that will come up to the board for discussion. And then we decided to delay the announcement at a date for the town hall event until late spring, early summer, we'll revisit. And that concludes the internal operations report.
Awesome, thank you. Dr. Graves, do you want to do the finance report?
Been outranked. Yeah, sure. No, I'm just kidding. We at the Finance Committee, we heard an in-depth presentation by BAC assuring us that everything's safe and sound when we move those funds over there, how easily they'll be accessible, and how willing they are to work with the town. In fact, they're excited about working with the town and developing a greater relationship with us, and we were excited about the fact that they're a community bank. And that they care about their community, and they're just not a big building in San Francisco. So we were happy to have that presentation. And then the other big presentation we had was from Harrison Associates, and this is with regards to an overlay, district that might help us have more funds to be able to fund the community center without drain strictly from Zone 8. It would be a supplemental district, but there's more to come on that, and I don't have a lot of details right now. We will be asking our consultants to help us disseminate that information, and at some point bring the Communications Committee in, on board with that, too.
Perfect, thank you. And then there was a Water Wastewater Committee meeting.
Can we do that one?
Go ahead.
I'll attempt to do this. It was a big meeting. There were several kind of items that we went over, some things that have broken that were unexpected. The first one was plant 2 rotor and digest pond erosion. It looks like there was a portion of the rotor that broke. I think out of all the things we discussed, the good news is everything that was broken that we're needing to fix has brought to light some other things that we can do with denitrification and stuff like that to make it better. On the rotor, we don't need to replace the entire rotor. They were able to repair it, and they're working on that process, so saving us a little bit of money from that. The digest pond erosion, we're kind of just starting looking at that, but it looks like our digest pond is having some erosion issues. We are emptying that and trying to take the sludge and get that out to see kind of how bad that erosion is and what we need to do to fix it. The silver lining on that is we were looking to see that we needed potentially a new dump truck to help handle that sludge, but because we're doing that a different way now, that gives us a little bit of time to make a better decision on what we actually need to do in transporting that sludge on the trailer portion of it. Not technical terms, I'm sure I'm making that incorrect. And then there was a discussion about the surplus property at Plant 1, and there's a portion of it that there's a party interested in purchasing, and so that is going to be coming to the board soon. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is that these items...
Oh, the pump station. I forgot about the erosion.
But this is just part of the same situation where we've... life expectancy on some items are just starting to expire. And we have a good team in place with regards to our engineers and Veolia, and they are taking this very seriously. And we assured them that we didn't want to have a board find out about these things the way we found out about them 10 years or 15 years down the road, but let's fix them the right way and make sure that we don't have some ongoing problems. But they're not huge ticket items. We were able to find fixes that are going to be reliable, but still not extremely expensive. None of them were disasters, and none of them were reportable items, but they all had the potential to be that.
Correct. And I think, again, like what Kevin was saying, or Director Graves was saying, what's come out of it is some precautionary stuff to look at some other things to make sure this doesn't happen for future boards or for the town. So while they're unexpected, it's also bringing to light the ability to look at some other things and make sure it doesn't continue to be unexpected and that we're taking care of stuff in advance.
Gotcha. Thank you for that report. Director's report. Trinity report. Director Grant, did you...
The good news here is that the ECCFPD board voted unanimously... special agenda item, strictly for this one item, to request for LAFCO to move forward with the annexation of ECCFPD into Confire. And so that is pretty much, everybody has agreed to it. I won't use the term done deal because it's not a done deal yet, but everybody has agreed to it. LAFCO's agreed to look into it and to address that annexation because they have the authority over combining regions and districts. And one district will be dissolved and it will be annexed into another district. The long-term effect for Discovery Bay is that we will have more firemen, more assets so that we can have response times that are more along the lines of what's recommended. It'll help with insurance rates and all kinds of other things in the long run. I believe Mike met with our current chief. There are a lot of things that are in question. Future of some of the personnel, how that's going to blend in, what the hierarchy is going to look like. But these are all things that they're going to address as they go down the road. The good news is that they all voted in favor of the annexation, and that's going to be good for Discovery Bay.
Good news.
Yes, it will. Excellent. Director Graham.
Nothing more to add than what is on the agenda.
Did you have a Tri-Delta Transit meeting?
Yes, I attended. And there's nothing more to say than what is already on the Tri-Delta Transit
Got
agenda.
It. Okay. Do we have any future agenda items? Then 7:51. Major.